Hi, this is Randall Schwartz, host of Floss Weekly. This week, Gareth Greenaway joins me. We're going to talk about Scale 12X. We've been talking about it a little bit at the end of every show, but let's actually delve into it deep. You're not going to want to miss this, so stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Gareth Greenaway. Episode 279, recorded January 15th, 2014. Scale 12X. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show about free, Libre, open-source software. I'm your host, Randall Schwartz, Merlin at Stonehenge.com, bringing you fairly frequently, we try to make it weekly, the movers, the shakers, the big projects, the small projects, the projects you might have heard of every day, not necessarily heard of every day, the projects you might be using every day, the projects you might not have ever heard of, and maybe unusually sometimes things like about conferences and stuff, like today's. Today is no exception. Today would be the exception where it's about a conference. But I'm usually and almost always joined by a co-host. This week, again, no exception, Gareth Greenaway. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Randall. Glad to be back.
Cool, cool. And you're probably up in Thousand Oaks or wherever you are, somewhere up there?
Yep, my usual spot. Same as usual.
Usual digs. And I am in my now new spot, which hopefully will last for at least 6 months to a year, because it's a new contract at ZipRecruiter. Been doing some Perl work for them, making things go faster. That's what I do best. And they're gladly providing the bandwidth, which is excessive. I think we're actually testing speedtest.net when I get 113 up and 65 down. I think that's probably testing there and not here. So I really appreciate the extra bandwidth. So it's good for that. So we have a great show today lined up. Gareth, actually, why don't you introduce the topic since you're somewhat familiar with this?
A little bit, yeah. I've heard of it in passing. So today we're going to talk about the Southern California Linux Expo. So we actually have two of my fellow organizers on the show. We have Orv Beach and Ilan Rabinovich. We're going to find out some interesting information about the upcoming Scale 12X show.
Great, cool. And I've been to, I think, two or three of the Scale events in the past, and this year I've been accepted both as a speaker, giving my Half-Life with Perl talk, and also as press. So I'm going to be there representing Floss Weekly to try to find some new guests for the upcoming series, and also to maybe interview some people while I'm actually there. So hopefully I'll get a few of these field interviews. Now they have the really cool iPhone 5S with their incredibly good camera and good sound, I may just like do some really quick phone interviews, which would be kind of fun. Well, without further ado, let's go ahead and bring on our guest, Orv Beach. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Pleasure to be here.
Very cool. And where are you speaking to us from?
I am from home currently in Simi Valley, California.
Okay, I'm not quite familiar with the layout. How far away is that from, say, well, I'm in Santa Monica, so how far away is that from here?
We're northwest of L.A., just over the border into Ventura County.
Ah, cool, cool. That sounds like fun. Okay, and tell us, so I usually have like the 50,000-foot view of like whatever the product is here, but we're actually going to get into all that, so I'll go ahead and introduce the other guest, and then that way we can be having a full conversation about it. So, Ilan Rabinovich, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me, Randall.
And where are you speaking to us from?
I'm here. I'm joining you from Santa Clara, California.
Very cool. So it's an all-California show for a change. Wow, that's sort of weird. Usually we have like international guests, which is more fun anyway. So let's go back to you, Orv. Apparently you founded Scale, or co-founder of Scale. What got it started, and why did you get involved?
Go back a little ways in time. All three of us were, in the late 1990s, members of a Linux users group, the Simi Caneo Linux users group. And at that time, we were meeting in a Nortel facility in Simi Valley. And I think it was Gareth that actually came up with the idea of having a lug fest where people could show off their projects. And the Nortel facility, being a development facility, was very enthusiastic about supporting it. So we had four Lugfests every 6 months, Lugfest 1, 2, 3, and 4, and got quite a good turnout from Southern California. There were one-day events with one speaker track. I think we had maybe a half a dozen speakers, maybe two speaker tracks, and tables in the cafeteria for people to set up Linux and show show people as they circulated around the cafeteria. It was a large cafeteria. I think by Lugfest 4, we had about 400 people over a two-day show there. And Nortel, being a pioneer in the dot-com crash, folded shortly thereafter. And why don't I let one of the Gareth or Elon continue on from there?
Sure. Or wants to pick it up? Probably well, Elon, because Gareth's actually a host.
Sure. So around the same time, we were we had some you know, as we were hunting around for a new venue for the this Lugfest event that we'd been organizing, we heard from some folks over at some of the local colleges at USC and UCLA. They wanted to start an event as well, and so we started chatting and kind of joined forces and created what is now Scale. We realized that in order to get the kind of venue that we wanted and to keep growing the way we did, we'd need to kind of make it a little bit more of a broad open source event. And so that later that year, we had the first Scale at the USC Davidson Conference Center, which we probably had about 500 attendees there the first time. And it was just a two-track event again. We thought it was successful beyond anything we had expected, although a great deal of work. I think Robert Love was our first keynote speaker back in the day when he was working on Linux 2.4. That was 2002, I'd say. And then since then, we've just kept on going every year, and it seems to be growing. So the joke was that it'd be twice as big the second year, and that's how we came up with the Scale 2X, 3X, you know, sizing acronym. Mm. I don't know if we're 12 times the size that we were in the first year. Probably not, but it's been a lot of fun.
At some point, you're probably asymptotically, you know, approaching some sort of like upper limit for just how much you can put in one hotel, probably, too.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
That takes a little crazy there. So, had any of you worked on any other lugs and conferences before?
We'd all participated in the LA area lug scene back at that time. There was a very large number of lugs in LA. You couldn't go a couple blocks without running into one. It seemed. these days there's a few less. But we were all involved in that area, and we were involved in organizing the Lugfests. But I think Scale was our first full blown conference for anybody that was involved. So we got to learn a lot along the way.
There must have been some financial risk in trying to put on a Lug event. How did you work that out? Did you just not think about it?
So for the Lugfest, I don't think there was too much financial risk. We had pretty much everything donated to us fairly early on. Mm-hmm. You know, Orv worked at Nortel and so was able to secure a fantastic facility for us at the cafeteria there, and that was where we had been holding our lug meetings anyways. So that the lug fests were less risky, but I mean, you're risking your time and hoping people will show up, I guess. Once we started to do Scale, yeah, there was some financial risk. We were starting to rent out venues and you know, put in deposits for food and beverage way in advance and things like that. So we there was some risk there, but I think we kind of knew that we thought we were onto a good idea given the success of the Lugfests, and it seemed to work out.
So. And yet, even with all those financial costs that you have, you still are able to keep the cost fairly low. It's like $50 or $100 or something.
So six, full price to 10 Scale is $60, you know, we offer discounts for local user group members as well as any of the open source projects. So most people end up paying $30, $35 to attend a three-day show.
Cool. Actually, I think I'll let Gareth ask a few questions for a second. Gareth, you want to take over for a bit?
Sure. So what would be the most exciting thing that we can expect to see at Scale 12X this year?
I'll go first. For the first 10 years of Scale's existence, I was the publicity chair, handed that off to somebody quite a bit more capable at publicity than I was, and I moved over to training. So we're able to focus on a little bit more education for the less senior people attending. We did a couple years of beginners training tracks or beginners labs, showing them how to install Linux. This year, we'll be doing a beginning sysadmin training track on Saturday, followed by an actual lab for maybe I think we have capacity for about 30 people, and train them in the items we've discussed and presented on Saturday. So that's kind of exciting for me to expand the actual formal training effort at scale. It's kind of near and dear to my heart.
So continuing on with the training, who is that training class is geared to, and what can the attendees expect to get out of it?
The audience for the training track, the beginning sysadmin training track on Saturday, is for those people who've been thrown into a Linux sysadmin job without any formal training. This might be a Windows admin who was handed a couple Linux boxes and say, here, take care of these. Or somebody who's new to it but not very comfortable with it. We'll give them the basic skills for logging in and administering a server. Not the high-end stuff, but the survival skills.
So it's more geared towards someone that's a beginner sysadmin versus a beginner, someone who is just like interested in learning about Linux and open source.
That's exactly right, yes.
And is there an additional cost associated with that, those training classes?
Elon and I are still discussing that. In the past, we've charged a separate charge for the beginning lab because it was a two-day affair, separate from the expo. It's going to be different this year. The training track on Saturday will be part and parcel of the regular expo, so that would be part of your regular admission. We're still discussing how to charge for the separate lab on Sunday, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah. Awesome. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I think we've got a great training program lined up for this year. If it's something you've been thrown into, you'll come out with a good deal of Linux experience. Somebody once told me that Scale was like going to a Scale weekend was like going to a whole year of LUG meetings, just compressed down into one meeting, and that you learned pretty much everything about the amount you had expected to learn in a year of LUG presentations. So it's whether you got experience or just getting started, I think it's a fun event to attend.
So that's actually a really good segue into my next question. So Scale has existed for 12 years. How does the team keep the content fresh and relevant over that 12 years? I mean, that could be speaker sessions as well as exhibitors, just like the whole program. How does it stay relevant to the current industry?
Sure. So we run a call for papers every year in which we let our community kind of help tell us what is relevant to them. Through that call for papers. And in general, I think our staff has sort of changed and evolved in their interests over the years. And so alongside with what the community is interested in. And so we're able to focus on different areas. When we started Scale, I was really interested in Linux on the desktop, and I still am to some extent, but these days my focus is more on, mostly because the work I do is more focused on, you know, the server side as well as, cloud and virtualization. So we're able to, we've been able to bring in tracks that kind of follow our own interests. I mean, in reality, one of the reasons we created Scale is because we all wanted a conference about open source near us that would talk about the topics that we were interested in. And that's, so Scale, I think, quickly follows the interests of our team. We're always looking for more folks to join the team. So if anybody in the audience is interested in being part, interested in helping drive the content that's at Scale or helping lend a hand with anything at Scale, we'd love the help to stay relevant, as you were saying.
So about the call for papers, I would imagine that Scale gets a lot of submissions each year, like most conferences. How does the team kind of whittle down which ones get selected, and what is the kind of criteria by which those are based?
Like I was saying, I think we all kind of look at areas that are of interest to us or that we believe will be of interest to the attendees. We get together as a team and basically go through all the several hundred proposals that come in. It's a marathon of meetings over a couple weekends, and we all sort of tend to vote up the sessions that we would be most interested in, or we think our attendees would be most interested in, and you know, at the end of the day, we try to rank them based on that feedback.
Apparently, my bribe also works since you accepted me as a speaker. So, yay.
I'll answer as a guest real quick. We are open to two bribes in the form of cookies and candy. So
or beer at the bar at scale.
Exactly.
I can do that.
So continuing on with the speaker sessions, I mean, one of the things that a lot of people always ask, and a lot of conferences are starting to do for those people that unfortunately are not able to attend, will Scale be offering any sort of streaming of the sessions during the event or videos after the event?
Yeah, so we strive to live stream the event every year, as many of the tracks as we can. And then our goal is to try to have videos up online on our website as well as on our YouTube this year within a couple weeks of the event. We may even try to get a few up online right after the event. It's been in the past, we've actually heard from I met an attendee last year who had watched the live stream online, enjoyed, I think it was one of the keynotes, and got in his car and then drove to Scale. So it was, you know, we want to make it available to as many people as possible, even if you can't travel out to LA.
Shifting gears a little bit, the amount of people that attend a conference such as Scale, I would imagine that the venue would, I mean, especially in the age where everyone has a wireless device, everyone has everyone's online constantly. What kind of bandwidth usage, internet usage happens during Scale at the peak hours?
So we have in the past, we've had a 45 megabit pipe coming into the hotel for Scale. That we get the hotel to kind of bump it up, given all the geeks in one room and what time they you can imagine the bandwidth gets used. Every bit of that 45 megabits gets used. So this year we've doubled that. We'll have a 100 megabit connection going, and I imagine we'll make use of all of that. It's interesting. Sometimes you get folks they'll be in a talk about Fedora or something, and rather than running down to the Fedora booth to get like the ISO on a CD from somebody, they'll start BitTorrenting or downloading it right there in the session, folks. But I think we've all gotten kind of spoiled, right? We're at home with our cable modems or our DSL lines or what have you, where we have 10 megabits, 100 megabits, whatever it might be, and we expect that we'll get the same thing at a hotel venue. And it's be kind to your neighbors at conferences. Don't abuse the bandwidth. Don't bring out your cellular Wi-Fi access points. It destroys the Wi-Fi. And every conference organizer you go to will greatly appreciate it.
So along the lines of wireless, as I said, like everyone has at least like three different wireless devices that they're carrying at any one point. Are there any like statistics around how many wireless devices were present at Scale last year?
Sorry, go ahead, Mark.
Actually, at the last LUG meetings, Stu, our tech committee chair, was discussing that. And what was the ridiculous number he quoted, Elon or Gareth? Was it like 8,000 unique Macs, or was it higher than that?
Yeah, that was a loaded question. I knew the answer to it. It was just over 8,000 devices.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, we have a number of different teams, as Orv was mentioning earlier, that focus on different areas. And actually, one of our team members, David Lang, who kind of coordinates a lot of the Wi-Fi stuff. He gave a full hour long session at LISA about how to build a wireless, how to build wireless networks that can stay up under that barrage of traffic with so many devices. I'll drop a link in the chat room for those that are interested.
Hey, so I'm kind of curious. Not being involved with this, what's the lead time? Like, let's say I wanted to create Scale. Well, it wouldn't be Scale. It'd be something much smaller. It'd be a smaller scale the first time. How much lead time would I need? And what are some of the typical volunteers and other organizations that are needed behind the scenes to make this happen for either of you?
Sure. We start looking for the venue for Scale before Scale happens. So right now we're looking at what we want to do for 2015.
Wow.
Scale's still a month away. So the venue lead time, if you can pull it off about a year in advance, is what you're looking at, maybe even longer if you have the time and the venues are willing to talk to you that far out. Otherwise the space goes fast. In terms of other areas, like we start our sponsorship and sort of marketing programs around 8 months out, so people have us on the calendar. You know, we'll usually try to announce the dates of scale of the next scale at scale, so people can put it on their calendar right there and then.
That would be another reason to have the venue ahead of time, so you could actually have the dates in hand then, huh?
Exactly. In terms of, the real work starts, I don't want to say the real work, but the hard, like we all start working in earnest and it becomes almost a full-time job about 2 to 3 months out is when it becomes sort of a full-time job. About 6 months out is when we start having like bi-weekly meetings and regular discussions by email about what scale will look like. So that kind of gives you a sense.
How do you manage the meetings when you're in apparently disparate, geographical locations?
Google Hangouts and IRC work really well.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. And if you said it's almost a full-time job, does that mean in some senses some of the employers are essentially sponsoring this too?
To some extent, yeah. I mean, I can speak for myself. I know that, you know, leading up to probably the month or two leading up to scale, my employer is getting a lot less less productivity out of me, but they seem happy to support me, and I've always appreciated that. From my current and past employers, I know Gareth has sort of talked about this in the past as well. He ends up, you know, I think you end up spending about the last couple of months before scale working on mostly scale.
Well, I'll let you give a free shout out to your sponsor there.
Sure. Yeah. So for years, Edmunds was a great supporter of me when I was working there, and now I'm at Uyala. We provide online video solutions. And so they're being very supportive of Scale and some of the other open source events that I help organize.
Yeah, and Orv, a similar deal for you, or?
Right. I work at St. Jude Medical in Sylmar, California, as a sysadmin, and my manager is very, very supportive. And in fact, he's actually coming to Scale this year, and I think he's going to try and drag his boss along. So they're very much aligned with the open source idea, and very supportive.
And I know there's a number of special events since I've actually been on a few of them. Was it Beat the Geek? Geek's Weakest Geek? What's that called?
Weakest Geek. It's so we like to have fun after hours at Scale. Everything from our game night to the Weakest Geek. Weakest Geek is sort of like a panel game show. Basically, it's sort of themed after the Weakest Link, and you focus on geeky topics. Gareth and some of the other folks usually end up hosting that. It's a lot of fun. Did you win last year, Randall?
No, I've never won it. I think I've got down to like the third to last yeah. person, maybe second to last. Maybe out of four people, I guess third to last is like the same as the next one to go after the first one.
People like to vote the competition off the island very quickly.
Yes, indeed. I do remember also being the authority to verify that an answer was correct when it wasn't what they had written down. I remember that because it was a Perl question. I went, okay, wait, you're not quite right on the answer. It's good to be an authority.
Lots of fun activities at Scale there with after hours. I mean, the other one that is our game night, right? Most conferences like to have parties with, where you're basically hanging out at a bar or what have you. We like to have a game night with, you know, laser tag and air hockey and video games. And we even did a pre-release screening of Wreck-It Ralph one year. So from Disney. So we like to do things that let you bring your whole family along, right? Like you can't bring your kids to a bar, but you can bring your kids to, to a game night, and they seem to enjoy it.
And so there's the usual layout for a conference, I presume. There's tracks that are sort of themed in some ways, or are they just rooms and you just have a bunch of different topics?
We try to tag sessions sort of with who they're focused towards or the topics that they're focused on, but there's not like a room that focuses on a given topic for an entire day. If you're following a given track, you're moving between a number of different rooms.
And how many minutes between sessions, which for a venue is always an interesting problem to have?
We have about 15 minutes between in both breaks in most cases, sometimes a bit longer. The idea is, I mean, one of the best things about Scale is our hallway track. And so we like to give people as much time as we can to network between the sessions, as well as to ask questions of the speakers and get a chance to run around the expo floor. We have some fairly wide breaks for our speakers between our speaker sessions.
And I'm guessing lunch isn't provided or things. So you probably are there good venues within walking distance for food?
yeah, we don't provide lunch, but there's great food at the hotel. And if you get bored of the hotel food by day three, there's, you know, there are various fast food places within walking distance. The LAX corridor is not the most friendly to walking, but there's options. There's like Subways and other, you know, other fast food type places as well.
Yeah, LA almost seems hostile to people wanting to walk. It's sort of like that's a last. Yeah. Oh yeah, I guess we should put a sidewalk in here.
Yeah.
Like, oh, but that takes up the room that one more car could get in there.
So yeah.
Such an amazing place. I've had the pleasure of being here most of the time for the last 6 years now, and it's been really bizarre. This is a wide open question. What's probably the most unusual thing that's happened at scale that you hadn't predicted?
The one at the LA Convention Center. Was that 4X or 5X? I can't remember.
Scale 3X.
3X. We were on the second floor, and that was the same weekend the Grammys were happening down the street. And as we were milling around upstairs, we noticed people dressed in black on top of the building across the street. And one of the photographers took a look at them through his telescope lens and discovered they were snipers. They were there. This was shortly after 9/11, and they were there to protect the Grammys against terrorists or other disruptions. So that was kind of a unique incident. Many photos were taken.
Yep. And then the following day the previous day with the Southern Baptist Cheerleaders Association or something like that was a bunch of it was a very eventful weekend between that and the snipers. I think the headline was neither the cheerleaders nor snipers will keep the geeks away from their open source events or something like that on Tom's Hardware. It was I think that's my favorite headline from about scale over the last 12 years.
So both of you guys have been involved with this extremely well since the beginning. What keeps bringing you back? What's your motivation for doing this other than, well, I might as well since I already know how to do it?
I'll go first.
Sure.
And it's so rewarding at scale because, remember, it's not a strictly 100% commercial expo. Half the booths there are contributed to open source projects that have a good story to tell. So we've got a good mix between commercial and open source groups, and we mix them up liberally. The great majority of the people who come to Scale are there because they want to be, not because their employer made them go. So the enthusiasm and the excitement on the expo floor and in the hallways is just palpable, and it's really, really rewarding year after year to see how we can give back to the open source community this way. And that's my two cents on it. Maybe Elon can contribute something more than that.
No, I mean, it really comes down to that. I mean, we were saying we tried to build the event that we wanted to attend. And so, I mean, from that perspective, it's a ton of fun to attend the show because it's the show we wanted everybody to organize for us over the years. And just kept showing up and seeing, you know, a couple thousand people at the door and doing it for fun on a weekend. It's very rewarding. Even if none of us really actually get to attend the sessions we were so excited about. And then honestly, it's a change of pace from what I do for work. You know, work-wise, I'm a systems administrator, you know, systems engineer type. I'm coding most of the day. And on, when I get to work on scale, I get to do an entirely different type of work, which is nice. It's a change of pace.
Now, you mentioned earlier that the crowd sort of drives the topics and things.
Sure.
What's probably the biggest trends you've noticed? Is it mirror the trends that are sort of in the industry, or has there been anything unusual in terms of what kinds of proposals you've had in the call for papers?
So in the last couple of years, cloud, you know, the word cloud and virtualization seems to show up on, you know, every other session we get. We probably get more proposals in that sort of space than we do in any other area. So Xen, KVM, OpenStack, CloudStack, these days Docker, we saw a lot of proposals for, as well as the configuration management tools for managing all that. So, you know, the Chefs, CF Engines, Puppets, and, you know, Ansible, Salt, that kind of stuff. So those two areas seem to be very popular right now. I remember, I mean, it ebbs and flows. I remember one year we had more VoIP talks than anything else. For example, when Asterisk first came out, everybody was very excited about that. All we heard about was VoIP. So it goes with what, you know, it goes with what our attendees are interested in. That's how we can really quickly see the trends move that way.
And so besides the sessions, you also have these days that are sort of themed. I remember attending most of the sessions of DevOps Day. I don't know whether it was the first DevOps Day there, but can you talk a little bit about those?
Yeah. So over the years, we've kind of realized that we have a great venue, and we basically book out the hotel. And so we can't actually use all the space for the entire time that we have it. But what we do is, what we've done is we've made it available to other groups. And so over the years, we've had everything from open theme days about open source in medical offices and in hospitals to open source in education. This year, we have a number of different events. One of them is that you mentioned is DevOps Day. So the local DevOps meetup groups wanted to have their own conference, and so they kind of joined us at scale. And that way, we like to kind of have scale be a hub where if you want to organize an event about something specific, you can join us. So like Fedora has done their activity over the years. Ubuntu's done like a bug bashing jam at scale. We'll have this year we have Red Hat's coming in and talking. A lot of their open source projects will be doing an event called Infrastructure Next, where they're talking about OpenStack and all kinds of different things. So it's a mix of sponsored and unsponsored events, but it's Friday ends up being a great lead in into the rest of the weekend.
Awesome. And you mentioned the expo hall earlier. Who might I see there if I go there in terms of categories of people?
Sure. Or do you want to take that one?
Sure. Like I mentioned, we typically kind of divide the expo into roughly half and half commercial and open source groups. Gareth typically manages the open source, the community groups, and Elon is responsible for the commercial groups and things like in the past Fedora, Ubuntu, Debian, open source groups like that. IBM has been there year after year. Elon, is IBM here again this year?
Yeah, IBM's our longest running supporter. They've been I think they're the only sponsor that's been to every single scale, although I'm probably excluding somebody that will be that will be unhappy with me. But yeah, they've been with us. They've been one of our top sponsors every year for the last 12 years, and we love having them out every year. It's not the same when they don't join us. When some of the team members that they have aren't able to join us. I mean, people end up asking us for the same exhibitors. Like, where's the guy that where's the guy that used to be at the IBM booth? You know, the last 12 years or something like that. The last guess why he skipped this year. So it's even with our exhibitors, it's just like one big group of friends and almost like a family that you get to see at a reunion once a year.
At that point, do you have any sense of how many people have been to practically all of them, if not everyone?
We do a survey every year. During the keynote session, we ask everybody to kind of raise their hand to tell us how many scales they've been to, and it's surprising every year. There's more and more people as the first scale they've ever attended. It makes growth an interesting problem in terms of space, but I don't think there's a lot of people that have been to every single scale. It's probably the organizers.
Yeah, I'm going to say there's at least two or three here that I'm actually on conversation with. Yes, back to something that I was thinking of just a second ago. Ah, I hate that when I do that. So back to the expo hall again. There we go. You mentioned that you have like organizations done, like open source organizations. Are those discounted booths, or are they free, or something in between? Well, that wouldn't mean anything between. Of course, a discount or it's free.
we provide the booth space. We donate the booth space to open source projects and nonprofit organizations. We really want to make sure that there's a good vibe. You get a very different energy when you put them right by each other rather than having them in completely different, you know, locations. I think, you know, we'll have the, Linhez is one of our regular exhibitors. They build an open source PBR distribution kind of to compete with, DVR distribution.
PBR is probably not open source.
Yeah. But we'll put them right next to the IBMs or the Dells or whomever's there. Like, and you know, they're, honestly, sometimes they get as much, if not more, interest in some of those booths than some of our sponsors. There's it brings a different energy to the event.
Yeah, there are some conferences I go to, which I won't mention any names, but they put all the open source people sort of along the back wall, and it has a totally different vibe. I understand the purpose of that. I mean, the show has to be paid for by the expos, essentially that, and yeah, the exorbitant attendee fees. But you know, it seems a little weird that way. So I really like that you guys actually mix it all up like that. It makes a lot of sense. Go ahead. Sorry.
Good. I was going to say there's a lot we can do given we're a nonprofit or volunteer run. If we were a business, I imagine it would be much tougher for us to do, you know, some of the things that we do. But that's not our goal. We're here to get the word out about open source. So
you guys have plenty of experience at throwing these on. Have you been approached by other cities, other locations that want to do a conference like this? And do you have like prepared materials? Like here's what you need to know, or do you try to talk them out of it? What's the next step when someone approaches you like that?
First, we try to talk them out of it. The first thing we try to do is help them understand how much work it is. We've had a couple of groups that come to us, and they're just one guy, one trying to organize an event. And we've made it very clear to them: you don't want to do this as just an individual. We want to make sure that you have a good support base. Otherwise, you're going to burn out very quickly. And honestly, just one person doesn't have enough time to put this all together. Unless it's all they're doing, and even then, it's not going to come out as well. And then we start to help them. So the Texas Linux Fest is a great example of this. We met some folks at OSCON one year. They were complaining, how come there's not an open source conference in our backyard? Well, have you started one yet? And so next thing you know, I think this will be the fifth year the Texas Linux Fest is running running again. It'll be in Austin, Texas on June 13th and 14th. And there's a call for papers open there as well. And so they're one of our sister events. This past year, we also helped a group out of Seattle start their event called Seagull. The Seattle New Linux Fest. So we're always happy to help other people get started with their events. We just want them to recognize how much hard work goes into it before they start, because they should know what they're getting into. Plus, it's sort of like you can check in, you can't check out. I think we've had maybe one or two volunteers leave scale over the years. You end up, even when you try to leave, you end up coming right back. Yeah. So.
So shifting gears just a bit, who are the keynote speakers this year, and how are they selected?
Let's see, we've got Leslie Hawthorne, and who's the other one, Elon?
Brendan Gregg from Joint.
And as far as the selection process goes, we can either select from one of the submittals from the CFP, someone has a good story to tell, and we discuss whether that would be appropriate for a keynote, or in the past we've gone out and actively solicited people who we thought would be a good keynote. And that's kind of hard because sometimes they're highly visible in the open source community and sometimes can't make our time frame or otherwise committed to those dates. Elon, you want to comment more on that?
Yeah, I mean, it usually ends up being a heated discussion on the list as to who wants to see who. But it usually ends up being either, like you said, either something from our call for papers or somebody that one of us has had a discussion with that we're really excited about, you know, about hearing from. So you know, this year one of our organizers had seen a talk by Brendan Gregg and was really and had some discussions with him about it and was really excited about seeing his session, his new session, which was going to be what Linux can learn from Open Solaris and vice versa. And that will be one of our keynotes this year. Should be interesting to hear the discussions afterwards. I think it'll be a little polarizing.
And is there any sort of like pattern with in regards to like what topic or what kind of speaker speaks on which day?
Not particularly. We try to do one more community focused event, sort of like a soft topic, and as well as a technical or open source business related topic on another day. There's not necessarily I don't know that we've necessarily had an order intentionally over the years, but maybe I'm missing that.
So going back to the expo floor, what new commercial or .org exhibitors could we expect to see on the exhibit floor this year?
this year.
Ones that haven't been at the show before.
Yeah. I'm not sure what new, I'm not sure about the .org side. On the, there's a couple new companies on the sponsorship side that are joining us. There's a lot of groups recruiting. So Telesign is one company that's joining us, and Enable IT. Those are two of the newer ones. It seems like a lot of folks looking to hire for open source roles are joining us this year. Trovebox is a fun one. They used to join us when they were Open Photo, and now that they've sort of built a company around that, they're going to be joining us as a sponsor again this year. Active State's going to be talking about their Staccato platform as a service as well. So those are some of the newer ones that have joined us this year. But we get a lot of the same folks coming back and talking about new developments that they're working on. So that's fun too.
So you mentioned a lot of companies will be there recruiting, and I imagine that's the case at a lot of conferences. Do you have any sense of how successful they are at scale in particular?
I hear good things. They come back every year to do it again. So I know a lot of my friends have been recruited at scale. So I imagine it's successful. Unfortunately, I don't have any stats as to how many hires happen at scale each year. But I'd love to get that number. it's a great place to meet people. Between the job board that we have hosted that we have out for looking for roles, as well as exhibiting on the expo floor and getting a chance to meet with your future coworkers, who, you know, usually they bring engineers out rather than just the recruiters. And that's always a good way to get a sense of whether or not the company that you want to work for is supporting will support your work with open source as well as uses open sources. So they're at one of these events, kind of showing their interest.
So one quick question regarding a statement you just made regarding the sponsors bringing engineers. Is that, do you have a sense of if that's different than other shows versus if they're bringing out salespeople versus like at scale where they bring out the engineers because they know the audience will be more interested in talking to the engineers versus the salespeople?
It's a spectrum, right? So I think there depends on the event you end up going to and who the audience is. I think at scale we end up being on the more technical side of that spectrum, where they bring a lot of engineers, and they might bring one salesperson or two salespeople to kind of back them up once an engineer has expressed interest. I mean, that being said, we also get sort of the VP and C-level types that are attending that do want to talk to the sales guy. So it's a good mix, but I think scale gets more of the engineering side than most events.
So going back to the specialty tracks, this year scale will have the next generation track returning. Can you guys speak a little bit about that?
that's the youth track, and maybe we want to talk to the expert on that track, Gareth.
No, I'm simply the host here. You guys are the guests. You're on the hot seat.
Let's see. Special events. Let me check the website.
No.
Who is the next generation geared at? Kind of what is the purpose of it? What's the idea behind it?
Well, that's the youth conference. That's for encouraging young adults and even younger to participate in technology and get exposed to it and even help plan it. It's been very successful in the past, and in fact, the daughter of one of our organizers spoke at scale, and she's since been invited to speak other places. So there's been some successes there.
Cool. Hey, so we're almost out of time, but I had a couple really interesting questions that occurred to me during this call so far. You've had scale now during the tail end of the .com crash and the crash in 2008. And I'm wondering if you have any sense of how the economy during the downtimes has affected your attendees and affected the kind of people you can get to sponsor.
To be honest, it hasn't affected our ability to recruit sponsors too much. I'm sure it has affected our sponsors and our attendees as you know, as individuals, but it doesn't seem to affect the trends that we're seeing at scale in terms of attendance growth or in terms of participation. So I have to imagine that, that means we're providing a good, you know, some value to our attendees and to our exhibitors. You know, I don't even think we've saw many sponsors dial back the level of their involvement. So,
wow.
So that's it's been interesting. It's been ongoing growth. So that would mean
you would be willing to claim that being an open source involved somehow makes you recession proof.
I don't know that it makes you recession proof, but it I think we've found scale to be recession proof. Although I don't want to jinx ourselves with that. You know, knock on wood.
Okay, well, again, we're almost out of time, so I want to ask each of you a couple of questions. I'll go with Orv first. Orv, we've covered a lot of things, but is there anything that you particularly noticed that we left out? That wouldn't make any sense. Anything else you want to make sure our audience is aware of as we're closing up the show here?
You know, geeks are into technology, and that involves electronic communications, but there is so much value to be added by face-to-face discussions. The hallway track, as Elon mentioned, the after-hours liquid-powered discussions in the bar. It's in addition to a great technology event, it's a great geek social event enjoyed by everyone that attends, so highly recommended.
Very good. And I'll just ask you my two standard questions, even though it's completely unrelated to this kind of a show. What's your favorite scripting language?
Python. Sorry.
And your favorite text editor?
Sorry, VI.
Two in the wrong column. Well, I've kind of figured that anyway. And Elon, anything else that we left out that you want to make sure people know about?
I just want to reiterate the part about Scale being a family, family friendly event. If you're coming up to Scale yourself to check out to see some of the technical talks, bring your kids along as well. There's, you know, the Scale Next Generation track that Gareth mentioned, and let them get involved in open source early, and bring them out for the family for the game night. Like it's entirely family friendly, and they'll have a great time. Other than that, come join us at Scale, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you there.
And I'm not going to like the answers to these two questions either. Scripting language.
These days, I'm doing mostly Ruby, although I'm Python. Python's been one of my favorites as well. And okay. The text editor is not going to make you happy either. It's VI.
I think Emacs was the choice for all of us older generation people, and we're just dying off. That must be it. Actually, I do have one last question. So let's say this has been a really inspirational thing to listen to today, and you're listening to it today no matter what day it
sure.
is. This is why they only have amateurs host this show. And you want to go, what are the dates, and can you still like get the venue hotel? Is it still open?
February 21st through the 23rd at the LA Hilton. If you go to our website, socalinuxexpo.org, you'll see the hotel information there. The room block is still available. The discounted rooms are still there if you're coming from out of town. And we can even have a discount code here for your attendees. Just looking at my notes, apologize. It's I believe it's floss F weekly.
Yeah. Floss. That's what Gareth has said a few more times before.
Yes. So floss is a 50% discount code for your attendees. That's a 3-day event for $30 or so, which is a lot of content for that little money. So.
Of course, I always take advantage of the ultimate discount. I always pitch a talk and hope that I can get there based on the talk. Yeah. So that's zero. Sure. I can get the whole show for free. So cool. Yeah. Well, guys, it's been great having you on, and I appreciate Gareth actually not being a guest this time. I mean, I know you've held it hold back a couple of times. He did answer one question. I heard that, but very good, very good. So thank you, Orv Veach and Elon Rabinovich, to be on the show today to talk about Scale, and I'll see you guys in a few weeks.
Thanks for having us, Randall.
Thanks, Randall.
Very cool.
And Gareth.
Very cool. Great, great. So, Gareth, what do you think? That's a standard response I've got there, but I know what you think.
It sounds like a really great show, and I think I might go this year.
Well, it is. I mean, it's interesting watching, you know, like, yeah, we've got all these electronic means to communicate. And it's interesting, though, watching people physically get together about something they're either, you know, passionate about or both passionate about, hopefully, and working in the arena. Because there's so much faster conversation that can happen. Like at my current gig here, they've said most people can work remote if they want to. But I went, no. I kind of want to be in the space for at least a little while until I'm kind of clear about what's going on, because it's much faster to walk over to somebody's desk and say, how does this work? And then be able to walk to the whiteboard, go solve it out, rather than trying to set up a Skype call or wait for the email to come back. It's much more interesting there. Of course, if a lot of these other people are remote, it's kind of hard to do anyway, but be online. But that sort of camaraderie that only really shows up when, first off, you're going to these sessions together and you can ask questions and things. And then also, the after-hour stuff, I can't emphasize enough that the after-hour stuff sort of really, you meet some of the most unusual and interesting people, and you end up, you know, I've met some people in after-hour sessions at conferences that are still friends of mine for after many years. So any further comment, Gareth?
Yeah, no, I was just going to reiterate. I mean, to reiterate what you said and what Elon said, I mean, like, you go to enough of these conferences and you do start to become friends with people. I mean, you see them a couple times a year, but you maintain those relationships online digitally. And it's always good to get that in-person interaction. I mean, you can have 100 discussions with someone online and all of it will pale in comparison to one in-person discussion. So yeah, there's a huge benefit to that.
Very cool. And if you can drop everything you're doing a month from now and fly out to LA or wherever I guess it would be fly for most people that are listening to the show, I highly recommend it. And I'll be there all weekend. So that'll be great. And in fact, I was going to stay at the place I'm currently staying and then drive over every day. But I think since there's still hotel rooms available, I think I'm just going to go ahead and stay right there. And that way I can party on until the wee hours with all you guys. So
exactly.
Speaking of wee
everyone that goes to scale should book a room at the hotel.
Yeah, yeah. You guys get a little kickback from that anyway, right? So
we get not a kickback, but we have a certain number that we have to sell. So stay at the hotel.
Yeah. Stay at the hotel, exactly. All right, good. So our upcoming guests look like this. I'm sorry I don't have anybody to actually add to the schedule since the last time I did this rundown. But we do have coming up, I believe it's next week. Yeah, must be next week, Libre API, which is we had Roberto Rosario from part of the government in Puerto Rico. Talk about back in the day opening up the data that was in the Puerto Rican government. And now apparently they have an online API so you can query it in real time as you wish, rather than just being open and having to go to an FTP site or something to download it. Ooh, FTP, I'm dating myself now. All right. We did add, we have Genevi. I don't know if I pronounced that right, Genevi, which is automotive open source software. So, you know, all those in-console smart dashes that we're now getting, there apparently is a whole movement to make a standard base that you can either will come from the manufacturer that way, or you can upgrade to because you're also developing protocols for reflashing, that sort of thing. I'm probably making that up. I think I heard that somewhere. I might be wrong. Coming up a few weeks after that, we're going to have Go, which is a board game played with white and black stone. No, Go is a programming language out of Google starting about a couple years ago. I think they released it. And it's a really like, it's sort of in the space of Node.js, if you're familiar with that. It's designed for highly interactive applications that are essentially threaded, and so they can talk to each other. And I think it's all command line. It's not browser-based. So it's going to be interesting to talk to the guys from Google about that. We actually been trying for quite a few months to try to get them on, and we finally landed one of the lead guys. Also, CoreOS, which is Linux for massive server deployments. I don't know much more about it than what I just read off the front page of the website, but they should be pretty fun. We also had a request in. They haven't scheduled a date yet, but I'm pretty certain they're going to be on soon. And this is somebody we've been trying to get for years. Nginx, everybody's favorite high performance, initially just a proxy, but you can actually build entire website stuffs with it. Very, very speedy. It's like there's nothing else in that space, just in terms of being quick and stuff. In fact, I'm going to switch my website from being proxied by a second instance of Apache to being proxied by Nginx sometime very soon when I get a few round to it. We are continuing to fill in Q1. I've got more emails going out this week, as I say every week, and I didn't last week. Sorry about that. For you to see the progress on that, go to twitch.tv/floss, which is our homepage for this show. And there's a link there that says, think your show should be on, or think your project should be on the show. And that leads you right to a Google spreadsheet that has all the details of everybody I'm working on. And if a project that you're interested in is not on that list at all, or is way down near the bottom, please email the project leader or rep for the project and have them email me, merlin@stonehenge.com. If you follow us on Floss Weekly on Google Plus, you'll get announcements of when we start adding new guests, and also my 1 hour ahead of time announcement for people that are watching the show live. Those also bleed over to Floss Weekly, the Twitter handle. We do the show live. We took many questions from the chat room today. That was at live.twit.tv. We're taping typically 8:30 a.m. Pacific times, but you go to the schedule to make sure that you're actually going to be able to see us. You follow me on Twitter at Merlin, M-E-R-L-Y-N, but more often these days, I'm just posting stuff to Google Plus, Randall L. Schwartz on Google Plus. Again, it's coming up soon, although I need to actually send some email to schedule this thing. I'm going to be appearing on the Linux Voice Show, which is a revival of a podcast and a sort of a community around Linux and stuff. Not specifically about voices, it's about Linux in general. Ben Everhart invited me to go do that, and I just haven't scheduled the time yet. Again, as I said during this show a couple times, I will be at SoCal Linux Expo, SCALE. I'm speaking, delivering my talk of my half-life with Perl, which talks about 25 years of Perl overlapping with 50 years of my life, and talking about how we've both influenced each other. It's a pretty good talk. Gave it at OSCON last year, well-received. Gave it at a local LAPM meeting, also well-received. So I might as well give it at SCALE, too. I'm also covering SCALE as a representative of Floss Weekly, so I'll be getting some new guests lined up there. And also probably doing some live interviews at the show. So we might have like a clip show right after SCALE is over. Gareth, you want to plug anything besides SCALE?
There's anything else to do. I, at this point in the year, I have really nothing else to plug. SCALE, as we've been talking about the whole show, is happening February 21st through the 23rd at the LAX Hilton.
I was going to ask if you finally learned the dates.
Yes. And I did, yeah. I'm good. As we're this close, I finally memorized them. anyone listening that's interested in attending can use the promo code FLOSS for a 50% discount.
Great, Gareth. Well, I'll be seeing you in a few weeks in person, just as I will with Elon and forgot his other name. Orv. That's right. I would have gotten to it a little bit on my rundown. It was at the wrong place on my scroll there. Sorry about that, Orv. I may have met you before, but or may have met Orv before, but I don't know if I spent a lot of time with Orv. So anyway, we'll have to like hook up. That'll be good. All right, guys. Well, that's about all the time I have. So I got to wrap this show up by saying we'll see you all again next week on Floss Weekly.